Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Thank you, Kenny and Ashley. Come on, let's give Jesus a great, great shout. Come on, let's give him a Super Bowl shout. Come on. Hallelujah. Give three people a high five and just prophesy. Tell them they are really, really ridiculously good looking. Just in case the sermon is lousy, at least you'll leave church today hearing something positive and uplifting. Somebody told me I was really, really ridiculously good looking. Hey, can we thank the musicians and the singers? Marky, Cullen, Josiah, you guys were unbelievable up here. Your beautiful bride, incredible. How good was the praise and worship? And so lovely to have Jasmine back, one of my favorite people on planet Earth. And man, it was just, what a presence of God, what an atmosphere. How many people love the Robins? Yeah. Kenny and Ashley. Yeah. Such beautiful people, such great people. Speaking of great people, I want to introduce a couple who are here today. This man lectured me when I was in Bible college. And I acquired, let's just go that far, I acquired a cassette that I didn't pay for, but I acquired it on spiritual warfare. And I was courting Leanne at the time, and we played that thing till the tape, this cassette tape, got stuck in the thing. We had to pull it out without, and then get a pencil and, you know, and until it was, you know, like this. And but we just learned so much. And Pastor Tom and Denise Rawls, two of the finest people you could meet. I was always so inspired. I looked forward to his classes every week when I was in Bible school. They then went from there to Thailand and really opened up Thailand for the Assemblies of God. And now there are churches all throughout there. He's a church planting apostle. And then a number of years ago, they moved to Norwich in England and started Proclaimers Church. And that thing is just flourishing and just impacting the UK like nothing else. So can you guys stand up? This is Pastor Tom and Pastor Denise Rawls all the way. Can we make them feel incredibly welcome today? Just love them. Such an honor to have you. And we're going to have him back, and we're going to have him speak next time. And you're going to love him. Him and his beautiful bride, they just got the most amazing pastoral heart, loving heart, but just an incredible anointing, and such an honor to have you here. We just love you guys. So fantastic. I feel very blessed. Amen. And oh, look at your little stand up, beautiful Loren. Loren and Matt Tuggle. Look what they made. They made another little baby. They got two handsome little boys. And is Jurgen in the name at all? Two baby boys, and Jurgen still hasn't made it into there. The next one, right? The next one. Come on. Thanks, man. I do that to everybody. Nobody in their right mind would call it. Anyway, I digress. Hey, welcome everybody watching online. Can we welcome all the online people from Norway and all over? God bless you. We're so thrilled that you're here. You're going to love this message today. We just started a brand new series called Dates and Mates. Or is it Mates and Dates? Mates and Dates. Mates and Dates. And it's not dates. As, anyway, so the title of my message is Ex Feminina. Ex Feminina. There was a movie that came out last year, a bit of a dive of a movie called Ex Machina. And it comes from a Latin, Deus Ex Machina, which means gods from machines. Gods from machines. And it's a pretty tragic movie about a guy who kind of invents artificial intelligence and creates these robots for companionship, making them very human-like, lifelike, only to find that they discover what kind of a despot he is and end up leaving and abandoning him in this mansion that he's built. I kind of spoiled the movie, sorry. But but today, ex feminina, which means out of the woman, out of the woman. And so we're going to go to the book of Genesis in just a moment. It's dates and mates, or mates and dates. And I just want to kind of preface what I'm going to do, because I've yet to finish this message. Didn't do it in the 8:30, went overtime and still didn't finish it in the 10. So I'm going to try and finish it in the 12. I'm going to try and finish it. How many people believe I can do it? Man, you guys have got better faith than me. Anyway, so let me pray and we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, and I pray that you speak through me. Lord, it would be clear, it would be concise, it would be powerful to change people's lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 Fantastic. Well, what a privilege to be able to preach to you today. Let me just say this as a preface, that I did not grow up in the church. I did not grow up in the Bible, with the Bible. I grew up in the world. And because I grew up in the world, I lived how the world told me to live, only to find that my life was just as jacked up as the world that we live in. So the job of the church, which for whatever reason has become quite confusing over the years, the job of the church is actually not to echo the world. So it's, when you come to church and I read from this book, it should be, oh my gosh, really? That there should be those moments. Now, there's pressure. There's always pressure on the church because, again, it's much easier for me to just preach to you what the world says, because all I really care about is my own comfort and concern. But I love you too much to do that. And one day I will have to finish this life and stand before God. And my job is to speak his words into this world. My job, my name Jürgen, means farmer. Farmer. Or farmer in American English. And a farmer scatters seed. And my job, what I'm accountable for is God has called me and anointed me to speak his words. Whether they're popular or not is irrelevant. Whether I'm persecuted or praised is irrelevant. I just know that one word from God can change your life forever. I know this in my own life to be true, that 32 years ago when I gave my life to Jesus on a beach, I began to dismiss what the world said, and I began to investigate what the Word said, and I found that as I built my life on the Word of God, my life began to be blessed. I found that not only was my life blessed, but I found that the very, very best life is a life that is in tune with God's Word, and I found that the very, very pain and dysfunction and sorrow and grief in my life always followed me either abdicating the Word of God, rejecting the Word of God, transgressing the Word of God, or rebelling against the Word of God. So my job is to communicate to you what the Word says. Now, the book of Genesis, which is where we're going to go, and I'm going to try and piecemeal a couple of scriptures together and give you the context, knowing that church shouldn't be your entire Bible reading. Like if you get completely fed in church so that you can go a whole week, I've done something wrong. In fact, if anything, I should just wet your whistle so that you want to go home and read for yourself and read for yourself and read for yourself. That's a successful pastor. So I'm not going to try and read everything. But let me just say this. I love the book of Genesis. It's not a thesis that God wrote. Genesis is also not a kind of a science essay or a paper that God put together. The book of Genesis is written in story form. It's an account of what God did, but don't dismiss in the simplicity, the complexity, that every word that is placed there has such impact, has such power, has such revelation behind it that only a brilliant God can put it together. So in Genesis 2 verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God planted a garden. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed." So I want you to notice that Adam wasn't born in the garden. Adam was formed in the wilderness, and then he was placed in the garden. Eve was created in the garden. Genesis 2:18, it says, "And God said," the Lord God said, "it's not good that man should be alone. Therefore, I'll make a helper comparable to him." And so God brings all the animals to Adam to see whatever Adam would call them. In fact, verse 19 says, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air." So God, out of the dust, out of the ground, forms the animals, forms the animal kingdom and the bird kingdom, male and female from the dirt. But then he puts Adam to a sleep under a tree, and he takes out a rib and he fashions the woman, and he brings the woman to Adam. When he brings the woman to Adam, the Bible says, Adam says in verse 23, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now, literally, we read that in the English and we lose a lot in the translation. He was saying, she shall be called woman, womb man. And he's playing prophetically on the words because she was taken out of the man. The womb is an inward forming of a human who will come out. The inward forming of a human who will come out. And so Adam is playing prophetically when Eve comes and he says, she shall be called womb man, woman. That's what a woman is, a man with a womb, who will bring forth life. In fact, the Bible says later that he calls her name Eve, which literally means life giver. So now in Genesis 3, we know the story of the fall. The serpent comes and says, hey, you know, has God really said? And it's interesting that he comes to Eve and Eve says, well, you know, God did say we can't eat it unless we, you know, and he says, man, go rogue, go maverick. Come on, are you serious? God's holding out on you. He knows the day you eat off that tree, you'll be just like God, knowing good and evil, but he's holding back. Come on, go your own way, do your own thing. Buzz the tower, Goose. Just go for it. And so he's like, I saw Goose in here somewhere. Where are you? There he is right there. Come on, stand up. How brilliant was this man in Twisted? Did such a great job. Such a great job, man. And so Eve, the Bible says, she reaches out. She takes it, gives to her husband with her. The eyes of both of them open. They see that they're naked, so they hide sewing fig leaves together. God comes down. And normally when God arrives, his kids come running. But now the kids aren't running. Like when I come home, kids come running. When God, he's like, Adam, where are you? And they're hiding. And then everybody goes, oh, sugar, we can't hide from God. Like, here we are. And they say, what were you hiding? We're afraid. Why were you afraid? We were naked, so we hid. Who told you you were naked? Watch this. Who told you you were naked? God said, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Watch this. The woman you gave me. So then he looks at the woman and says, what is this that you have done? The serpent deceived me. And then he pronounces a judgment on the serpent. I'll put enmity between your seed and her seed. You'll bruise his heel, but he'll crush your head, prophesying of the Messiah to come. Then he deals with the woman, then he deals with man. To the woman, he says, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. So the reproductive, because she was the womb man. She was the reproductive arm of this relationship. So that is now coming under judgment. And then he says this. He says, your desire will be for your husband that he should rule over you. Your desire will be for your husband that he should rule over you. You might want to underline this in your Bible. It's very, very powerful. And then he says to Adam, he says, cursed be the ground for your sake. God couldn't curse Adam because in Genesis 1:28, God blessed Adam. So now he had to curse the ground. God can't curse what he's blessed. So he cursed the ground for your sake. And out of the ground, thorns and thistles and briars will come. The sweat of your brow, hard labor, the earth will yield to you. So I want to give you three thoughts on relationships as we look at it today. The first one is opposites attract and then opposites attack. Opposites attract and then opposites attack. There's a tension that's there, and there's a conundrum in every relationship. God says to Eve, he says, your desire will be for your husband that he should rule over you. Your desire will be for him that he should rule over you. A lot of people have a hard time with the Bible, and if you listen to people who hate God and hate the Bible, they will tell you that it's justifiable to hate God and hate the Bible because the Bible is a misogynist book written by a very, very chauvinistic, misogynist God. But if you believe that, you've actually missed God. If you believe that, you've actually missed the character of God, the Spirit of God, and the heart of God. When God was saying to Eve, your desire will be for your husband that he should rule over you, he was not pronouncing judgment so much as he was revealing consequence. Let me explain it. Satan does not go to Adam, Satan goes to Eve. because there was no Eve when God said to Adam, of all the trees of the garden, you may freely eat except that one. You can't eat of that one because it's not free. In fact, the price is too high for you. I don't want you to eat it because death is in that apple. Death is in that fruit. So God spoke it to Adam. Satan comes testing to see how strong or how clear the communication is between Adam and his new bride. He's always looking for the weak. He's always putting pressure on potential weak areas. Eve says, repeats verbatim, God said we can eat off all the trees except that one. We can't eat it. We can't touch it lest we die. Satan says, you will not surely die. God knows the day you eat of that. You need to reject God. You need to go it alone. You need to go maverick. Adam is standing right there, says nothing, says nothing. So all of a sudden now, the great dilemma that comes in is a dysfunction in communication. So every relationship and every marriage has communication issues, communication challenges, goes all the way back here. Not only that, but God created man for companionship, for relationship. When I was in Bible school, they taught us that it's very important that you actually don't weigh lightly the person that you marry, because the person that you marry can either make or break your life. In fact, Dr. Ed Cole says, the closest you'll ever get to heaven and hell on planet Earth is in marriage. And there are moments where you feel like, and then, you know, sometimes you experience both in marriage and right here, right now. And so we see that there's dysfunction, and the dysfunction comes back to communication. The communication, and so the judgment on Eve is because you rejected the word that I put in your husband's mouth and listened to an outside voice, you introduced insecurity, you introduced second guessing, you introduced the need for a positive affirmation. You because you rejected the word of my word in his mouth and open yourself now there's your desire will be for your husband, that he should rule over you. God, in the midst of chaos, is having to bring order and structure. Now, let me just say this. My job is to lead my home. So you will find another word that the world has contaminated is the word submission. Submission. That somehow submission is oppressive. Those Christian pastors, they preach submission, you know, that it somehow robs women of their femininity. It robs women of their dignity. It robs women. But if you really study it, you'll find it doesn't rob. It actually facilitates. It doesn't rob. It actually inspires. It doesn't rob. It actually instills. So let me just explain it. The word submission comes from two words, sub, under, mission. So my job is to have a mission that my wife can come under. There's a lot of husbands that have no mission that includes their bride. And then they wonder why they have a struggle with their bride coming under that mission. Years ago, I had a gentleman want to meet me for coffee, and the reason he wanted to meet me for coffee was because he was a jackwagon to his wife. Nasty, cruel, belittling, abusive. And so she moved out. And so he thought, well, I can't win her back with my own credibility. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have coffee with the pastor, let her know I'm having coffee with the pastor. And then he's like, oh, pastor, my wife. He goes, I just want you to go and tell her what the word says. I said, well, tell me what the word says. He says, well, she should submit. The Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. You need to tell her to submit, pastor. And I'm like, you know what? I ain't telling her jack. And so that meeting did not go very well. He ended up leaving, threatening to use physical violence on me because I refused to do it because I told him, you know, that his behavior basically drove her away. So here's the truth. The Bible does say that this is the sword of the Spirit. Right. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's a weapon against the devil. But when Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her, laid down his life for her. So in other words, Jesus had a mission, and the mission was, I'm going to give my life for the betterment of my bride. There's not a woman on the planet who will have an issue submitting to a husband who lays down his life for the betterment of his bride. But watch this. Paul says, washing her in the water of the Word of God. Washing her in the... So in other words, to the devil, this is a sword. But when it comes to your bride, it's no longer a sword. It is now a wash basin. And you are to wash her in the water of the Word. So you may say, well, you know, you're a pastor. You're meant to be in the Word of God. Actually, no. If you're a human, you're meant to be in the Word of God. Let me explain why. Let me explain why. Because you are as powerful or as powerless as the level of Word that lives inside you. God said, let there be light. Nothing could stop it. Jesus, three times, the devil comes to him three times, said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Your life is as powerful or as powerless as the level of Word that is on the inside of you. The Word isn't just for pastors. The Word is for people. The Word is for sons and daughters of God. You were created to rule and reign in this life. How do you do that? Do you put His Word in your mouth? And you shoot His Word. Devil, it is written. That's what you're meant to do. But when it comes to your bride, when it comes to my bride, my job is to wash her in the water of the Word, which means I've got to know what the Word says. Don't just leave your Bible reading to church on Sunday. You need to read the Bible. Why? Because your wife will be insecure. Because the Bible says your desire will be for your husband that he should rule over you. In the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of the transgression, consequentially, you're now going to be insecure. You're going to need his positive affirmation. My job is to continually wash away Leanne's fears, her anxieties, her self-doubts, you know, damage from her upbringing with affirmation and self-esteem and all of that. My job is to wash her in the water of the Word of God, that with God all things are possible, that when God made you, baby, he made you unique, that you're the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. You're blessed in the city, you're blessed in the country, you're blessed going in, blessed going out. The hand of God is upon you. God's favor is on you. God's spirit is in you. There's no height, no depth, no principality, no power, nothing to come, nothing in the past, no angel, no demon. Nothing is able to separate you, baby, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. When God made you, he made you. My job is to wash away her fears, her inhibitions, her anxieties with the Word of God. So what I found is that there is a power in speaking the Word of God. Now, you may say, well, hang on a minute. You know, in our marriage, there's tension. In our marriage, you know, there's irreconcilable differences, so we're going to get divorced. And you see them on Oprah, you know, we just drifted apart. You know, well, I remember drifting. Like just the other day, I was surfing, and there's a really strong current. I'm drifting down the beach. Well, I just paddled back up. We drifted apart. We'll paddle back together. Well, we fell out of love. I fell out of a tree. I fell out of a canoe. I got back in. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. When you get married, the Holy Ghost, true story, the Holy Ghost will immediately create tension. He will create that opposites attract and then opposites attack. He will create an opposite. I'll tell you why. Because the definition of tension is two forces pulling in opposite directions. There is not a bridge in America. In fact, there's not a bridge in the world that it doesn't have high tensile steel as reinforcement. When they build bridges, they build to create tension so we can handle a load. If you're erecting a tent, the way that a tent hangs in there through high winds or through storms is a thing called tension. Two forces pulling in opposite direction. And the more tension, the stronger that tent, the more able to sustain. So you will find that as soon as you get married, you may have dated on your compatibilities. Oh my gosh, we feel it. We finish each other's sentences. You may have dated on that, but as soon as you get married, one's a night person, the other one's a morning person. One's spontaneous, they just spend money. The other one is, are you kidding me? We got a budget to stick to. You'll find that one person is, why is that? It's so that you have the full spectrum. It's so you have a full spectrum. So now you've got to introduce communication. Now I want you to notice, when God says, have you eaten? Have you eaten? Nobody apologizes. Adam didn't say, you're right, God, I'm so sorry. He immediately blames God and he blames the woman, deflects responsibility. Eve doesn't apologize. You're right, God, it was me. Adam's 100% right. I listen, you know, she blames. If you live in blame, and it's second now to our human nature to just blame, you're never going to get ahead. Somebody has to lead. Somebody has to take responsibility. Somebody has to apologize. So what does your Bible and my Bible say? It says that 2,000 years ago, God so loved the world that he gave his... In other words, God saw the mess and he saw you and I weren't taking responsibility. So God clothed himself in humanity, came into the world through a womb, born in a manger, grew up, and then Jesus hung on a cross for your sin and my sin because he took responsibility for our sin, for our shame, for our mess. God took responsibility because Adam and Eve didn't. And so you find that the key to great relationships is understanding the power of responsibility. Now let me just go a little bit deeper. Not only is it so difficult for us to say I'm sorry, tension, opposite directions, pulling differences, but you'll find that there's a great strength. I've learned how to listen to my bride. I've learned how to include her voice. Now, at the end of the day, it's my decision that lasts. Well, there you go again, being all chauvinistic. No, only because every decision that we make, somebody has to bear the burden of responsibility. And because I love my wife, I don't want to put the weight of that on her. So I take the responsibility. And if I make a bad choice, if I make a bad decision, it doesn't fall on you, sweetheart. It falls on me. Because I have the responsibility, I have to have authority. If you give someone authority without responsibility, it's dysfunction. If you give somebody, a responsibility without authority, it's dysfunction. So therefore, somebody has to lead. So Leanne, I've become smarter to bring Leanne's voice into the table. You're a smarter husband if you bring the voice in, but now you've got to learn communication skills. I had no communication skills. Like my dad just yelled at my mom or got physically abusive. And so I remember, having an argument with Leanne, and I'm like, oh, what do I do? I can't hit her. I just knew what not to do, but I didn't know how to communicate. I didn't know how to relate. And so I had to unlearn the dysfunction. See, when we got married, I didn't realize I was bringing my dysfunction baggage with me. I mean, I got saved. I was going to heaven. But my dysfunction never left the day I got saved. Because I had cycles and patterns of history. Residing in your today and residing in your spouse today is the cycles of previous generations of dysfunction. That's why you and I need to be in church on a Sunday. We need to be hearing the Word of God, because the Word will expose the dysfunction and will begin to transpose and begin to heal you of your dysfunctions. Why? So that you can have your very, 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 very best life, so you can live a blessed life, because whatever lines up with the Word is blessed. So you will find that God then says to the woman, you're going to have pain in reproduction. It's quite interesting, because the number 13 all the way through the Bible is the number of rebellion. And a woman has 13 cycles a year. Just 13 cycles a year in her uterus. When she conceives a child from the seed of a man, the gestation period is 40 weeks. 40 again is tribulation or judgment in the scripture. So you see how brilliantly Bible and biology, scripture and science blend. So a woman has cycles. She has cycles, and so there's a period every month where you can't do anything right. If it's not what you said, it's how you said it. And it's just... And you can't connect, like, baby, what is it? Well, my favorite color is purple 7. Okay. And it's like, you can't connect. And we go to restaurants and I'm like, how's this? She's like, not good. I'm like, the food is brilliant. Look at the menu. It's a buffet. The Golden Corral, value for money, sweetheart. She's like, this place sucks. There's no ambience. I'm like, an ambulance? Somebody's hurt? She goes, no, ambience. Atmosphere. She needs atmosphere. Because Adam was born in the wilderness. He's born in the... See, it's just rough. Camping. I'm fine. Not her. When she woke up, she looked around. There's like pretty flowers and fragrances and exotic birds and everything's in order and it's all pretty. So that's what she wants. This man, he's got no idea. He just thinks it's all a bit excessive. And then she's in cycles. Man doesn't have cycles. He's got seed. He's ready to go anytime. He's got a spirit of always on him. She can be watching the TV and there's like a tragedy, some national tragedy, and she's crying and he's looking going, I notice your head's leaking, but it's Tuesday. I'm just checking in, like it's Tuesday. It's on tonight, right, babe? It's on. Like Tuesday. And she's like, how can you even think of that at a moment like this? He's like, the heck does that have to do with? I'm ready to go. What are you talking about? She needs the atmosphere to be right. She needs the temperature to be right. She needs the environment to be right. She needs everything to be right. He's like, oh, I don't understand. Leanne and I, we go, you know, and she's like, you know, I like this restaurant. I'm like, I hate this restaurant. I'm like, well, I can't even read the menu. The lighting is so bad in here. And then why can't they just put burger? Like, why do they have to have all these fancy Italian names? Fettuccine. What is this? A swear word. That's what it is. They're cussing at you and you like this plate. And so she loves it. She loves, you know, the atmosphere. And, you know, because ambience. So the mood's got to be right. Everything's got to be right. Man, she's got a spirit of awe. He can go anytime. Cyclone, tornado, flood, the house is burning down. Oh, we got time, babe. You know, no, you don't have time. It's just, so, you know, the dumbest ad on TV is the Cialis ad. The Cialis ad, it finishes like this. It says, please ask your doctor if you're healthy enough for sex. There is not a man. There is not a man who's going to ask you, hey, doc. Level with me. Am I healthy enough for sex? Jürgen, you need to grab a seat. Oh, okay, doctor. Son, your heart, if you have sex again, it could kill you. Okay, thanks for letting me know, doctor. I'll be sure to go home and tell my wife, honey, I'm not healthy enough for sex. There's not a man. Even if the doctor says the next time you have it, it will kill you. You know what? You know what the man's going to say when he comes home? What do you say, sweetheart? Oh, we're good to go. Good to go, babe. Two thumbs up from the doctor. Two thumbs up. We're ready to go. Get your Victoria's Secret. Get it. We're 5 days later. 5 days later, my funeral casket. And my wife's like, I can't. He went to the doctor. Why did the doctor tell? The doctor did say, no husband's going to tell his wife. The doctor says, I'm not healthy enough for, no. Anyway, so it's just a dumb ad. Number two. Oh, man, this is terrible. Number two, what I call the animal man gap. The animal man gap. You know, most of you will have been taught at school evolution. And it's interesting, if you have a look at, you know, in the museums and the different places, and you can even look at it online, you'll see, you know, that it's got the chimpanzee, and then it's got, you know, the Neanderthal, and then it's got Cro-Magnon, and then, you know, eventually Homo erectus, you know, you go all the way through. And it looks like, oh, yes, oh, you can see the transitions, except the very, very first photo of the chimpanzee is a lie. Because if you have a look at what they use, there's never been a chimpanzee with human feet. No such thing. Never. Not one. So, you know, the missing link is an ape with human feet. There isn't one. There's not an ape with a toe. They have four hands. But in the picture, to deceive our children while they're at school, under the authority of an instructor or a teacher, they'll put a picture there. And if you have a look at the feet, it's human feet. But they don't have human feet. They have four hands. They have thumbs, not toes. And so The difference between the animal kingdom, because the devil wants you to believe you're an animal, so you behave like an animal, and then you can justify it. God created you and I in His image and in His likeness, and the Bible introduces God as a speaking God. And God made you to be powerful. God made you and I to be His vice regents in the earth, because you and I have the capacity to speak. You and I are at our most powerful when the words that have come out of our mouth are congruent or in alignment with what God says. When you fill your mouth with God's word, you will find that there is power that flows through your life. The world that we live in was framed by God's words. The world that you and I live in are created by the words of our mouth. So when I first got saved, all my friends turned against me. And I remember sitting there with my younger brother, and he began to tell me how Daniels hates you, Rolsey hates you, Flanagan hates you. These are all my friends. And then finally he finishes and says, and you know what? I said, what? He goes, I hate you too. And I said, oh, well, I've got a friend you don't have. He goes, yeah, who's that? I said, Jesus. And I ran into my room and because I didn't want him to see me cry. So I ran into my room and somebody had given me a Bible, but I'd only been a Christian a few weeks. And I just thought, man, I love this God thing. I'm just not sure, because there were weird people at my school that read the Bible at lunchtime. Hello, weirdos. And so, you know, so I put the Bible in my drawer. Well, somehow it's out of my drawer and it's on my desk. And I hear this voice say, read it. And I'm like, oh, I don't know where to start. Read it. I've never read it before. Is it confused? Read it. So I'd never read it before. And I opened it up. And as it fell open to John 15, verse 18. And the letters were in red. So it was Jesus speaking, but I didn't know. But the first thing my eyes ever fell upon was John 15, 18. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. But because I chose you out of the world, that's why the world hates you. I dropped the Bible, had all the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I began to realize that God is a speaking God, that God is a speaking God. So God created you to speak. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Your life is the sum total of the words that you speak. In 1997, I remember Leanne and I having a massive row, a massive argument. There'd been tension. We'd been married for 5 years, and there was incredible tension. And so finally, she was done. She was done. She was just done with my dysfunction. She was done with my verbal abuse. She was done with me. And so she said, that's it. I'm calling a divorce attorney. I'm like, oh, crud. God, where do I go then? You know, because all I could think of was I've always got a one-upper. I'm like, how do you one-up a divorce attorney? So I said, I'm telling God on you. Getting over a prayer walk, I'm not going to talk to God. If I come back and you've broken out in boils, you'll know why. And so I go for this walk. And as you know, as I'm walking, obviously you don't throw your wife under the bus, you know, in the introduction part of the prayer. You don't just go, hey, God. You know, no, you know, you segue your way in there. I'm just like, you know, hey, God, how are you? Oh, stupid question. Always good. You're God. How am I? Woo, glad you asked. That woman you gave me. If you gave it to me, I may have completely blown it. And so, you know, so then I start throwing her under the bus. Oh, God, rebellious, insubordinate, grief, hello. And then I thought, oh, you know, I better back it up. I said, well, you know, God, I said, just between you and me, I can't remember the last time I saw her have a Bible study. Quiet time. She's probably backslidden. So God interrupts this little diatribe of mine and says, Yerkes, your wife is a product of your husbandry.
What?
Your wife is a product of your husbandry.
What does that mean?
And then he says to me, what kind of a wife do you want? I'm like,
oh, man, you have me going there with all that husbandry stuff.
Oh, man, this is awesome. Okay, I get a do-over. I don't want to blow it like the first time. Okay, what kind of a wife do I want? I want a princess. That's what I want, a princess. And then God says to me, when was the last time you called a princess?
Wait, what?
When was the last time you called a princess? I said, well, when she starts behaving like one, then I... And God says, it doesn't work like that. He says, I've been watching you. You called her hopeless, useless, stupid. Called her all these names, insubordinate, rebellious. He says, you're sowing those words. What kind of a harvest were you expecting to reap? What kind of a wife were you expecting? When was the last time you called a priest? And I'm like, I've never called. He goes, exactly. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And he says, what do I do with Adam? I said, well, you said it wasn't good for man to be alone. You put him asleep, you pulled out a rib, and you made the woman. And God says, in between that. I said, nothing. He says, no, have a look. I said, God, I don't need to look. I said, if there's one book I've read every year, it's Genesis. Every year, January 1, I'm reading the Bible from cover to cover, God. This year, I'm doing it. By the time we get to the end of February, I'm in Leviticus, and those flipping ceremonial laws kill me. Thou shalt not cook a goat in its mother's milk. What kind of sick people do this stuff? So I crash and burn. By April, I'm like, man, I just give up. But if there's one book I've read every year, it's Genesis, and I'm God. I've read it says, it's not good the man should be alone. I'll make a helper suitable. Then you put him asleep under a tree, and you make, and God says, wrong. I said, it's not right. I'll show you. Oh, that's cheating. You just put that in there. And God's like, no, I wasn't cheating. It was always in there. Do you know what it says? It says, it's not good the man should be alone. I'll make a helper suitable. Before he puts him asleep, the Bible says, so the Lord God brought all the animals to Adam for Adam to name them, to see what Adam would call them. And whatever Adam called them, whatever he named them, that's what they became. Then God puts him asleep and takes out a rib and makes the woman. Before God gave him the privilege of a spouse, he had to teach him the power of his mouth. And God said to me, Jürgen, the things that you call your wife, it's not her, it's you. It's your husbandry. I remember coming home from this prayer time. No boils on Leanne. But it was dark now, and I'm looking through the window, and she's in the kitchen, and she's just cleaning up. And there was no spark in her eyes. Her hair was all disheveled. And I thought, my God, what have I done? When I married her, she was full of spirit, full of life, full of anticipation, full of hope. She married me when she was 17, believing that this life that we were going to serve God together was going to be amazing. And here she was, two babies, just belittled, just broken. And the man who was meant to be her greatest fan, her greatest cheerleader, the man who was meant to be her covering and her protector, was also joining in and belittling. Where else did she have to go? And I remember I came in, and I'd love to tell you, and I came in church and apologized, and she forgave me instantly. And overnight, like Pantene, everything changed. It took 18 flipping months before she started to actually believe. But I had such an encounter with God, I knew that I had it. So I started calling her princess. I started calling her, and at first she'd dismiss it. Like, you're just saying that because it's Tuesday. She's like, you're just... But 18 months later, it began. My wife has four sisters. There's five girls. Two of her sisters have double degrees. All four of her sisters, who I love very much, combined don't have a patch on the wisdom Leanne carries. The wisdom that she carries, the anointing that she carries, the insight that she carries, the preaching gift that's upon her life, she is extraordinary. And it's because God had to redirect this husband to learn how to lead his bride, how to wash her in the water of the Word of God, how to wash away her fears, her insecurities, how to use the Word to bring life. So Adam calls his wife, he calls her woman, womb man. We live in the age of transgenderism, and the lie of transgenderism is this, that you can, through hormones or surgery, become something that you weren't born. The word woman is womb man with a womb. So it doesn't matter how many hormones you take. It doesn't even matter what operations you have, adding things or taking things away. You can't form a womb. A man is a man not because of hair, facial hair, or the level of testosterone. A man is a man because he has seed. He's a seed bearer. This isn't a very, very popular, but it's the truth. And the reason that I'm telling you the truth is because we live in an age of confusion. And so what the world does, because Satan is a destroyer, he preys on the confused to emasculate and to devastate and destroy. It's far easier just to renew a right spirit. It's far easier to deal with the confusion. It's far easier. When I got saved, I was a fornicator. I didn't believe that you need to be married to have sex. I was lustful. I used people. When I got saved, my sexual preference was anything that's cute, please. But when I came into the kingdom, I realized that all my desires and all of this, I had to surrender to the cross. Did those things still live in me? You better believe it. Well, that's just who you are. Well, that's who I was. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, most people try and tell, and the church has a problem. We tell the world to behave like a new creation without giving them a born-again experience. When you are born again, your nature is changed. A new nature comes on the inside. It's the nature of Christ that gives you the power to live a life above the confusion, above the distortion, above all of those things, so you can live a very, very best life and a very, very, very blessed life. Somebody say amen. So Adam calls his wife's name Eve, which means life giver. The last one is design distinctives. Design distinctives, and I'm out of time. But let me just say this. God takes the rib from Adam and he makes the woman. If you notice that God breaks a pattern. Up till now, God makes everything from the dust. Even Adam was made from the dust. He made the animals from the dust, male and female from the dust. But when it comes to man, God breaks his pattern. Nothing is in the Bible by accident. God doesn't, he could have, but he doesn't take a woman from the dust, form her, breathe into her, and then bring her to Adam. No, he puts Adam asleep. And then while Adam's asleep, he into Adam's side and he pulls out one of Adam's ribs. And he fashions the woman because he's teaching us that the privilege of companionship is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. It was a rib because the animal kingdom may mate and move on. He says, but it'll not be like you. They mate because of instinct. They mate because they're on heat. That he says, but you won't just mate to procreate. You'll mate to build intimacy. And the greatest intimacy is under the covering and the protection of marriage. What is marriage? Marriage is just a certificate. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? The world will give you a certificate. Marriage isn't a certificate. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a commitment that I made at an altar where I said, before God and before men, come hell or high water, I take you to be my bride. Forsaking all others, I take her to myself, and I will create an environment that you can be comfortable as you are. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to be anything. You can just be you. And then in that environment, lovemaking doesn't just produce babies, but it produces intimacy. It produces wholeness. It produces connection. It causes you to fall more in love with your spouse. And it's incredibly beautiful. God doesn't want you to just do, and listen, we live in an age, you and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals. Let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. And they wonder why they're so empty. They wonder why they've got to get into all kinds of weird and perverted garbage, because they're like, hey, we're doing the opposite of the Bible, and we can't find no satisfaction. Mick Jagger, we can't find no satisfaction. So what we're going to do is we're going to try all kinds of weird stuff. Only to find they're destroying them as they're destroying their own soul when the answer's right in front of you. The animal kingdom mates and moves on, but God says, no, not for you. One partner for life. Well, we argue all the time. Welcome to marriage. There's tension. God is just trying to teach you how to be a better communicator. Well, you know, my wife doesn't respond the way that I like. Well, what words are you sowing? What words are you sowing? What atmosphere are you creating? From the rib. I thought that's interesting because the rib cage is what protects the heart. God is showing Adam, I didn't take your leg. Didn't take your elbow. He said, I took from your ribs because she can wound you incredibly deeply, or she can touch your heart like nothing else. Depends on how you lead and how you treat. From under his arm, so that she finds her strength under his covering, under his nurture. When what Leanne is looking for from me is covering. Under that covering, she finds her bold. She finds her courageous. She finds her brave. She finds her voice under that covering. From a rib, Adam says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. There's a companionship, there's a connection, there's a price. It may have even been tender. Oh, because God is teaching him how to be tender, how to be delicate. With the men, it's bravado, but with her, it's very, very different. God has a great plan for your life with mates and dates. Can I just encourage you? Don't go to the world, go to the Word. Everything that you see, this book, 6,000 years of human history. And in 6,000 years, they still can't find contradiction. They still can't find or disprove anything in there. But for 6,000 years, this book and this book alone has brought civil to civilization, has brought transformation to individuals, to communities, to countries, to cities, to all over the world. It's this book. Build your life on this book. Build your life on the Word of God. Build your relationship on the Word of God. Put the Word of God first. The greatest thing I've ever done is put God's Word first in my life. And my greatest sorrows and my greatest tragedies is when I dismiss the Word of God, listening rather to the world. Don't live according to the world. Live according to the Word. Amen? Amen. Would you close your eyes? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these beautiful people today. Maybe you're here today and you're away from God. Would you let me pray for you just in the last 30 seconds of this service? Or maybe you're here today and you just need forgiveness. The thing that I love about Jesus is he is forgiveness. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short. Maybe there's some sin, maybe there's some transgression, maybe there's some mistakes that you made. The devil doesn't want you to find forgiveness. He wants you to be crushed under the weight of guilt, under the weight of shame and condemnation. But I'm telling you, Jesus died on a cross not to point out your sin. If you have a look at the way Jesus was crucified, his hands were nailed. It's very, very hard to point at people's faults when you're nailed. Your hands are nailed to a piece of wood. Jesus died with his arms open, accepting that whosoever would come to him. In fact, Jesus died on the cross, a shameful death for criminals. And yet he was an innocent man because God was judging him for everything you and I have ever done wrong. And he offers from that cross to take your sin. He offers from that cross to take your shame. He offers from that cross to wash away all your guilt. He offers from that cross to give you a brand new start. He offers from that cross to give you peace. He offers you from that cross to come out from under the weight of crushing guilt, regret, and remorse. And if you're here today and you're saying, hey, Pastor, I need that. I need that. I'd love to pray for you as I close. If that's you, would you quickly raise your hand just so I know who I'm praying for and I'll include you in my prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you up the back. Thank you right up there. I see that hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you up there. Thank you. Who else there? Thank you, sweetie. I see your hand, darling. Thank you up the back. I see your hand. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, hands everywhere. Thank you through there. Thank you. Thank you, thank you through there. Thank you through there. Thank you through there. I'm going to pray. Thank you. You can put your hands down. So many hands went up. I'm going to pray. Now listen, would you let us do this? All of you that raise your hands, before I pray, we want to give you a Bible straight after this service. There's a handsome young man over here with a hat. He wants to give you a Bible. It's God's manual. Even if you've already got one, let us give you one because you may find someone you can give it away to. We're also going to give you a book called Following Jesus, written by one of the pastors in our church. Just a thin little book. It'll help you to know where to start in the Bible. 66 books, 39 in the old, 27 in the, man, where do I start? Following Jesus will help you. If you raise your hand straight after the service, that's our gift to you. No strings attached. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to find out a few details. If you're from San Diego, we want to help you take your next step. If you're from out of town, we want to help you find a church just like this, wherever you're from. But while your head's bowed and eyes closed, let me just pray. Father, all those that raise their hands, I declare today that Jesus died on the cross to wash away their sin. I declare today they are forgiven for everything they've ever done wrong. I declare today that the hand of God is upon them. The power of God is toward them for blessing. I thank you, Lord Jesus, you didn't die to judge them for their sin, but rather you were judged to release them from their sins. I declare that the old is washed away, the past is washed away, that they've got a brand new future, a God-filled future. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We love you so much, church. Take somebody out for lunch. Hey, don't forget, tonight is the Super Bowl. Have somebody over. Invite your neighbors, invite your friends. If you need prayer for anything, I'm going to have the prayer team down here. We'd love to pray for you. Don't leave carrying the same weight, baggage, burden that you walked in with. Let one of our pastors pray with you and love on you. Have a great lunch, and may your team win the Super Bowl. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.